Oh, I just died in your arms tonight. The game show wasn't any good. I should have known from the screenshots. No, I shouldn't have. What is that? That's ridiculous. Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 276 of the 77. It's 277 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for the week of Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. I am your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter and all the usual places at PX Sausage. This is the Pixelated Sausage Podcast? If I didn't, then that's what this is, and this is a great start to the show. I don't even know what to talk about in this part of the show. I feel like, oh, I had all these great things that would go in the beginning of the show that really had nothing to do with any of the main topics, but I feel like I've got nothing. And the weird thing is, if you listen to the anime section, you'll hear near the end, I start just not having much to say, and then I start yawning because I recorded that so early. Way too early. I was like, this would be a good idea. And then after about halfway through, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this anymore. And fun fact, which nobody wants to know about, when I was recording the game section, about 8 minutes into it, I really had to go to the bathroom. And I'm talking about number two. That's right. There was a poo that was on the verge of prairie dog. And it was just like, I want to get out of your butthole. And I was like, not yet. I'm not going to pause this and let you out and then go back to the podcast. I'm going to finish this first. So I don't know if I felt like or if I sounded like I was rushed at a certain point. But yeah, I had poo. So I let that poo out now because I'm recording this after, obviously. So I'm as free as a bird. I'm free falling. I'm free falling. I don't know how that song goes. Isn't that the one Jerry Maguire sings? And Jerry Maguire, his name's not actually Jerry Maguire, it's Tom Cruise. Well, his name in the movie is Jerry Maguire. And he's Maguire. That's a good movie. I should watch it again. My favorite part was when the little kid said, well, specifically, he said, you said, but he said, when he said, you said, I don't really feel like bleeping things out anymore, if you can't already tell. Maybe I will. Maybe I have retroactively decided to bleep these things out. Maybe I decided after recording this, even though I don't feel like bleeping them out right now, I will have decided before posting the show to bleep them out. You'll know beforehand because they'll be bleeped before you hear this part. I really don't know what to talk about, as you can tell. Elections. That's the thing. I don't want to get political at all, other than to say I'm glad Kasich ended up in second place, and I'm very curious to see where this thing is going. American politics right now, I just can't even. Nothing is good in this entire thing, and I don't want to touch on any of it. I don't want to touch any of it. Dirty, all dirty. Super Bowl. I didn't watch any of it. I think this may have been the first time I didn't watch anything because I realized that for whatever reason, and I don't know why, I don't really care about sports anymore. I don't. The only sport I care about watching is hockey. And it's funny because when I was younger, I didn't care about hockey at all. And I think part of that was because it was such a foreign sport for me. It was a sport I was never going to ever play. You know, I didn't play much of soccer, but in gym class and whatnot, we'd play soccer at times, but we never got out the ice skates, put on our pads and got some hockey sticks and just slapped a puck around. We did street hockey, of course, but that never felt the same. And it was not street hockey with rollerblades. It was street hockey, not on a street, but in an auditorium in the gym room and in the gym. It doesn't need to be called the room. It's just the gym. In the gym. And then we'd run around and slap whatever, a plastic ball around with plastic sticks. That was our hockey. So for me, hockey was just like, I don't know anything about this. Never played it, so what do I care? But now I just love it because it's so exciting. It's at times, oftentimes, way too exciting. If you ever watch a game and hear the commentators, they are at a constant high. It's just incredibly nerve-wracking and so intense. It's like a constant stream of the soccer commentators whenever somebody scores a goal. So whenever they go, goal, that's hockey the whole time. No matter what's going on, it just sounds so exciting because it is exciting. It's a smaller arena than, you know, say soccer, and they're all moving very fast. And I just look at the sport. I look at hockey and I'm like, this is potentially the most difficult sport out there because I'm just trying to fathom everything that's going on. You have these players on these skates, they're on these very thin blades, moving around ice so fast and controlling this little puck with this wooden stick, and then they are trying to get that little puck into a goal that is tiny and covered in large part by a man in fairly thick padding. So they don't have a lot of room to work with. And to be able to do that, and on a consistent basis, it's just, it's incredible watching. And passing and being accurate with all that and the stuff they're able to do, it's just an incredible sport. And I still love that. But everything else, I just kind of don't care about anymore. Even the Bears, I just like, whatever. And I don't know what the reason is. I still love playing sports, the ones I can play. Football takes a lot of people, so that's difficult to actually get a game going. I keep thinking about joining flag football league, but I haven't really dived into that. I love tennis, which is easy. You just need one other person. And I actually do like watching tennis as well. It's another sport I like. I haven't played golf in years, but I do enjoy playing golf, and I kind of enjoy watching it at times. It's hit or miss with golf. Baseball is the sport that I don't like playing, don't like watching, but I love going to games. There's something about going to an actual baseball game. That's just, I don't know. It's a great experience when you're going I don't think it would be any fun going alone, but when you're with other people, a baseball game is great. I mean, going to Wrigley Field is an amazingly entertaining experience when you're with the right group of people. But yeah, basketball, I don't care. I really don't care. That said, and this is weird, but I still do enjoy, less so with college basketball, I still do enjoy college football. I just think it's a more entertaining version of football for whatever reason. And I think the same goes for basketball, even more so than the NBA, because I think in college, it's still more of a team-oriented experience as opposed to the NBA, where it's a lot more about superstars and just single players dominating the game. Not to say that doesn't happen in college. I just think it's not as common. There, I just found something to talk about. And you know what? Now I have nothing else to talk about. That was a interesting thing. Super Bowl, though, I didn't watch it, like I said, and I didn't watch any of the commercials. I literally have not seen. That's not true. I did watch the Ninja Turtles trailer, but that's it. I didn't watch anything else. I didn't watch the Coke ad with the Hulk and Ant-Man. All I saw was Lady Gaga sing the national anthem, and she did a pretty good job. I don't know why people were surprised that she did it like a normal person, because she's not a crazy person. She's a classically trained person, a musician and all that. I'm pretty sure she's classically trained. Either way, she does things normally as well too. I mean, she did that jazz record with Tony Bennett. So yeah, she ain't just all crazy all the time. But that Ninja Turtles trailer, Krang is now confirmed. I don't think he was confirmed before, that trailer. That movie, one, I think the first movie was perfectly fine. It wasn't as bad as everyone thinks it is. I think a lot of people will on that movie. They didn't actually watch it, so they should just shut up and watch it first. I'm not saying it's a great movie. A lot of the dialogue is not great. But they did do a pretty good job with the turtles, despite some of the character designs, the turtle designs not being so hot. It's an all right movie. It's incredibly watchable. There's nothing about it that's so like, oh God, don't. I mean, there's some bad things, but compared to other movies, it's perfectly fine. It's not the best movie. I would have loved to have seen a lot more out of it, but I'm hoping with this new one, Out of the Shadows, they just kill it because it is so full of fan service. This is my Star Wars. I poo-pooed on Star Wars The Force Awakens because it just felt like so much of the same and felt like a lot of fan service and like it was just being, it was a movie for new people or fans of the series and not people who were not a big fan of the series to begin with. And I think when this new Ninja Turtles movie comes out, I'm going to be like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Probably not. I don't think it's going to be that good, but I'm betting I'm going to enjoy it quite a bit. And it's going to be for all the reasons I said I didn't enjoy Star Wars The Force Awakens for. So that'll be fun. Hopefully it's good. Anyway, anime.
Before I get into the anime that I've been watching, I want to just deliver a bit of news. The movie I mentioned earlier, which I don't remember how long ago I did mention it, but The Boy and the Beast from Mamoru Hosada, director of Summer Wars and Wolf Children, I think I was correct in the date before, but it is coming out in theaters, select theaters, a very limited run from Funimation Films, starting March 4th of this year, of course. And presale tickets are available at some locations. I'm not sure if every location has presale tickets available, because I'm not sure if every theater does that, but, if the movie's coming to your area, which you can go to the website, it's just FunimationFilms.com, and then you can find it on there. I'll probably put a link in the post, but you can find out if it will be playing in a theater near you, which theaters those are, and then you can click through there and get yourself a ticket. I'm not sure how limited they will be, the runs, and I don't know how popular the movie will be in terms of it potentially selling out. But that's good news. And I do believe they will have both dubbed and subbed versions, which is I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'm very hopeful that that is the case, because I will always opt for the dubbed. Nope, subbed. I don't know why I screw that up, but I'm a sub guy all the way. When Marnie was there, I saw subbed because I'm not a fan of dubs. I've talked about this in the past, but I just don't like them. I don't find them to be that great, even ones that are considered great. I think the Cowboy Bebop dub is not good. I've only heard a little bit of it, but what I've heard has turned me off. I might watch it at some time, and I need to ask people what the best dubs are for Studio Ghibli films, because I screwed up the name of the studio, but, Studio Ghibli, I want to introduce my dad to some, anime, and I think, of course, a movie would be a lot easier to do that with than a whole series, even though at some point I do want to make him watch Usagi Drop, because that is my favorite, and it's so lovely, and I think it's something that anyone can get into, because it's not super fan servicey or crazy over the top. It's a very, very subdued, simple slice of lifey show about a father and daughter. Technically not her biological father, but, you know, the father-daughter relationship, a father-child relationship, a parent-child relationship. And I think it's done so incredibly well and is so sweet. And yes, I know if you're listening to this and you've read or know about the manga and where that goes, yeah, okay, I don't need to hear about that. I'm not even completely against it. But I think the series stands on its own, and the way they make it not as creepy as it is in the manga, which people might guess what happens, but they might not. I knew right from the start that there was something off about the girl in terms of where she was from or who her biological father was. These are like incredible spoilers. I guess they're more so spoilers for the manga because they don't really touch on it in the anime. It's just something I thought of right off the bat for a very specific reason, because her hair color was not like anyone on the father's side of the family. So I'm just like, how did that happen? Because it's also not like the mother's. So if it's not like the mother's and not like the father's, I don't think a small child is dyeing her hair. So maybe she's not the grandfather's daughter. I just spoiled Usagi Drop accidentally. I didn't mean to, but I'm sorry. Spoilers, you should know. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't know. It doesn't matter. That doesn't hurt Usagi Drop at all. Usagi Drop is still an amazing show. I mean, I adore it, and it's the kind of anime that I think anyone should watch. Even somebody who will never like anime in general. I keep meaning to recommend it to Lunchbox and his lovely wife, because I think they could really get into it, especially having a young son of their own, a young son of their own. I think they could really dig the whole family dynamic of it all. But I did watch some winter shows. I know it finally happened. It's amazing. And those shows are, first and foremost, I wrote a preview for this show just yesterday, so I'll talk about that right off the bat. Haito Gensu no Grimgar, otherwise known in English as Grimgar of Fantasy and Ash. This is available on Funimation and Hulu. I love the way this show looks. It is incredibly beautiful. Like I said in the preview, and I'm not going to keep saying like I said in the preview, but you can read that if you want. I don't think there's that much else to it other than being so pretty. It's an incredibly beautiful show. It has lovely watercolor backgrounds, which I always love it when shows do that, and it keeps them throughout. There are so many shots that are free of any dialogue, so you just get to take in the beautiful landscape and all that, and it's just like, oh my god, I want to just take a screenshot of this and use it as my wallpaper, or just print it out and put it on my wall. I'll print it out on rolls of wallpaper and actually wallpaper my wall. Do people still wallpaper their walls? I'm not even sure if people still do that. I feel like that's something that has been looked down on at this point in time and just sort of doesn't happen. People just paint their walls. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe that's just still like a kid thing. You don't want to put Ninja Turtle paintings. You don't want to go to the hassle of drawing Ninja Turtles all over your kid's wall, so you just put up wallpaper. I guess that's the only real reason why anyone would wallpaper anything ever, is for a child's amusement. But it's an incredibly beautiful anime, and the animation is fantastic. There's a lot of motion, with the action that's fluid. The characters are all incredibly sharp, and, they're well designed. I like the look of everyone. And like I said, the animation is very fluid. I like the attention to detail. I mentioned in the post that at one point Yume, the hunter of the party, she is hanging from a tree branch. She, you know, sits on it and then hangs from her that knee, the gap, the backside of the knee. And she's holding her ponytail with one hand so that it doesn't dip into the water. And I thought that detail was just such an amazing thing to realize when you're drawing a show and animating it, to realize that if you don't do that, that means the ponytail is going to end up in the water. So not only for potentially the animation's sake, but the character's sake, you know, that they don't want to get their hair wet. You would remember to take note of something like that. And I think that is quite, it's worth pointing out, and the show does that a lot, and I really appreciate that. But I don't really like anything else about the show. The characters are very, very flat. I've watched 5 episodes now. It's a 12 episode series, so I'm about halfway through at this point. And I feel like no one has much of a personality. I haven't grabbed on to anyone. It's just, it's another one of those anime that is about characters. They're way out. They don't know where they are. There's kind of some mystery going on, and they're in this fantasy type world with RPG elements, and they're monsters that they get to take and level up and stuff like that. And, you know, they think they might be in a video game because they say stuff like video games, and they're like, oh, this could be a video game. And I'm not against those type of shows. I really, really like Log Horizon. The whole Log Horizon. I haven't seen the second season, but I really enjoy the first season. I like the first half of the first season of Sword Art Online, which is the popular opinion, because it is the right opinion. The second one gets too crazy and turns Asuna into a damsel in distress, which was incredibly annoying. But I like those type of shows, and I like the whole RPG game elements in shows, which you can see in stuff like Is It Wrong to Try and Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, which doesn't have the whole, oh, I've been thrown into this world, I don't know what it is. But I'm a fan of all that. The thing is, nothing happens in Haitu Gunsu no Grimgar. Nothing. The first episode, they try to kill an orc, the entire party of 6 people. They fail to kill one orc. Is it an orc or a goblin? It's a goblin. I think orcs are bigger. So they try to kill a goblin. They fail. And then the second episode, they're just kind of like whining, I think. Then the third episode, they kill the goblin and they start killing more. But they've only really killed goblins. They haven't run into any other monsters. And in the fourth episode, the leader, spoilers, he dies. And he was one of the more interesting characters. He might have actually been my favorite character of the bunch, but he up and dies because, you know, he's great. He was just a very interesting character, and he would occasionally talk about how he felt like the way he is in this world is not how he would be in the other world, in like the real world, which they don't often question, which is annoying. I'm like, why aren't you more concerned or wondering all the time where you are, why you're there, what's going on? Because they sometimes will do things from our world, whether it's they use a word like cell phone, and like, oh, I forgot my cell phone. Wait, what's a cell phone? I feel like I know what a cell phone is, but I can't remember. They'll say like stuff like that occasionally, but for the most part, it's just sort of like they're just doing their thing and they're not really caring. And the one interesting character dies, and it's just, I don't know, the story has gone nowhere. I'm so concerned that in the end, the story is going to do nothing, and it's already past the point of me being able to really recommend it for somebody who wants a strong story, because nothing is there yet, and even if they pull a punchline and the show ends up being amazing in the end, I don't think anyone should have to go through 5+ episodes of just dragging the feet
to get to something amazing. And the characters don't do anything for me, so I can't give it a pass for that. It's really just a visual delight. The music's fine. At some points, the music can be a bit too poppy or a bit too happy, I feel, at moments. But it's okay. It's a beautiful show, and I'm gonna keep watching because I just adore it from a visual standpoint. I think it's incredibly beautiful to just look at. And I did mention this at the end of my preview as well, and I want to mention it here because I really do appreciate it. And there are shows that don't do this that drive me nuts, but I love whenever an anime doesn't just have the characters talking like they're going to die if they don't get something out as quickly as possible, because I'm a slow reader. I am partially dyslexic. And whenever I have a show that has characters talking at a modest pace and I can read everything, it's really, really nice. And I'm not saying that's hardly the case, that I can typically read everything that's put on the screen. But there are some shows where I can't, where they're just like blah, 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 blah. But that is definitely not the case in Haithu Gensu no Gengar. In that show in particular, you have plenty of time to read. At some points, I'm almost like, I'm finished reading. Can we move on? They're almost talking too slow, but I really like that. And it makes it a show that you can kind of, you're given time to take in the visuals, which is also nice about it in that sense. You don't have to just keep reading and reading and reading. You can read something, wait for it to move on, and then just look in awe of the beauty before you. So, that is Haithu Gensu no Grimgar, which you can find on Funimation and Hulu, as I mentioned earlier. Next is Ano Kanata no For Rhythm, or Akonana For Rhythm Across the Blue. And this is available on Crunchyroll. And I don't hate it. It's just a very, very average show with very tropey, stereotypical characters. It's about these schoolgirls and some school guys too, you know, in like high school or whatever. And they're part of this team of flying athletes that wear grav shoes that allow them to fly. And it's this competition called FC, the Flying Circus. And the way it's set up is that there are 4 points, like checkpoints. And you score points by either hitting the points sequentially first before your opponent. It's a one-on-one match always. Or you can smack them in the back and get a point for that if you're an attacker. So there's a fighter class, speeder class, or then an all-around class. And it follows this group from some school or whatever, and I don't know. The sports element of it all that is not that exciting. The characters can get really annoying because Asuka, the main girl of it all, she is really ditzy. But she's a fast learner. She's your, oh, I'm stupid, but I catch on quickly and I'm just ridiculous and all, oh, look at me, I'm so cute. Oh, that's great. Then you have Misaki, who, when she first wakes up, is very kind of, not distant, but she's very, very cold because, and kind of just sleepy and doesn't want to do anything because her blood sugar or whatever is low, and therefore she's just not really awake. She's still kind of sleeping even though when she is awake. But then she gets really fluffy after she eats a lot of food and gets that into her system, and then she talks in cat ways. She, instead of saying now, she'll say meow, and she'll be like, perfect, and things like that, which I don't like. I don't think that's cute. I think it's incredibly annoying, and I'm someone who loves cats. And
I don't know. It's very, very, it's a very, very standard show. It's very, very average. It's not great. It's not bad. It's just, you can watch it. You might like it. It's not very memorable either. I'm trying to think if there's a disgusting amount of fan service in it, but I don't remember there being that much, which is at least one thing that's good. But it's not egregiously bad. I don't watch it. I'm like, oh, this is no good. Then I also watched Musagen no Phantom World, otherwise known as Myriad Colors Phantom World, which is available on Crunchyroll. And this is right up there with Haito Gensu no Grimgar as one of the prettiest shows of the season. It's incredibly beautiful. Like, ridiculously so. The animation, the character models, the world, the character designs, everything about it is just amazing. But what I don't like is the way fan service is handled in this show. You have a character, Mai, who she can call upon elements. So in this world, the brain has been altered because some kind of virus was leaked out, and it has allowed us to see these phantoms in the world, which I think they say they have always been here in the world. We just couldn't see them. And now that we can see them, they've been riled up for some reason or whatever. But the phantoms come in many different ways. They can be little fairy-looking-like creatures. They can be limboing electrical poles. They can be full-blown monsters. They can be a lot of things. And they aren't always aggressive, but sometimes they have to be dealt with. And these kids at these schools who have been attuned to these, I can't remember why, but there are certain people who have skills and abilities that allow them to take on these phantoms. And in this school, in this world, we're following these group of characters, the lowest of the bunch, the screw-ups of the group. And I don't know, it's just, I don't know. It's interesting, but at the same time, I'm not feeling it as much as other people. I enjoy watching it a lot, and I really love looking at it, but I don't know if there's a great overarching story that's there, and I don't need that, but I don't know. It's just weird because I like so much about it, but my real problem is the fan service-y element with Mai, as I mentioned, because she can call upon, like, elemental bits, like fire and ice and whatever, to take on phantoms of opposing, elements. You know, she'll fight, earth with fire or whatever, leaf with fire, plants with fire. But the way she does this is she rubs her body, certain parts of her body. So one of them, I think the water element, she rubs her kidneys. So she's rubbing her sides. And when she's doing that, she's squeezing her breasts up and you can see them. And it's like, oh my God, I don't need that. And then there's one where I think she just full blown caresses her breasts. And I'm like, why? You really couldn't think of a different way, another way for her to call upon her powers? And then in the light pole or whatever limboing episode, she has to limbo, but her breasts are too big to fit under there, so she starts bouncing up and down so that the breasts would go up, and then they would become flat with her chest. They're that magical. They're like, they can just become flat like that. And she got under the limbo stick by timing it right when her boobs were at their flattest. And it was just like, this is not, I don't like this. It's just a bit ridiculous. But it's very, very pretty. I think the characters, for the most part, are all pretty entertaining.
I have a problem with her and that the way she uses her powers. But actually, I watched that one right after the last episode, so it's not super fresh in my brain. That's the one thing about going back and watching everything from a season. Things start to blend in together, and it's hard to remember things about this and that. I also watched Norn 9 : Norn plus Nonet. Well, I don't like that. I don't like that title. I just realized Norn is in it twice. No, don't. I disapprove. This is on, I think this is also on Crunchyroll. No, this is on Hulu and then also on Funimation, I believe. Or no, I don't know if it is on Funimation. These next few are all on Hulu, and I'm not sure if they're anywhere else. I think they might also be on Daikasu.net or whatever that studio is. In Norn 9, you have a girl. There are these people who have special abilities, and they all live on this ship. It's very soap opera-y. It reminds me of the girl with the red hair, whatever that anime is, which I didn't realize was getting a second season, but that's currently going on. But it's very, very soap opera-y, and I don't like that about it. It's not bad visually, but it's very plain and not too vibrant. There's not a super lot of color in it. And I don't know, it's shrouded in mystery as to why everyone's there, what's going on. And I'm not a big fan of that. It's reminding me a lot of Roku no Yusha, and that's not a good thing. I just feel like there's this stupid mystery about who's the traitor, who's the person who let this in, though I think they may have revealed that in the last episode. Can't remember. Either way, I'm just sitting there watching, and I'm like, oh my god, I don't care. That's the problem. An anime could be full of mysteries, but if I don't care, then that's not going to be good for a show. But it could be worth checking out, I think, especially if you're somebody who likes mysteries and whatever, and you want to see a reverse harem, which is what it appears to be. You can pass. And I also watched Sajaku Muhai no Bahamut. Undefeated Bahamut Chronicle, which is an anime about a world with royalty and all that stuff. And then there's this school for gifted girls, and this prince from a fallen empire ends up there, and he's supposed to be sort of like a consultant, but then he becomes a classmate, and they fight in these like mecha suits or these demon mechas. I don't know. They're fighting, and it's a harem, and it's weird. I don't know. It's just another tropey, stereotypical show, and I don't particularly care that much about it. It reminds me of something, but not something good. I can't remember what, but it's meh. I don't have any strong feeling for it. I thought it was really weird too, because I feel like these characters are in their early teens, like 13 or so. And after the first episode, at the very end, I mean, the way it starts is like Asterisk War or any of these other shows where the boy falls into the hot springs or the bathtub of the girls, and he ends up falling right into the lap, the bosom, the everything of the princess, the to-be queen of this land, of course. And she's naked. And he sees this tattoo scar thing just above her vagina. And you don't see her vagina, but you see the tattoo. And I was like, okay, this is what this show is. But at the very end, when after he helped her out and protected her, she's thinking about him back in the bathtub, and she moves her hand under a towel, which is covering her vagina, vajayjay, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Aren't these still kids? So yeah, it's very, that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of like Asterisk War and, the Chivalry No Cavalry, or whatever that show was called. And it's just another one of those where it's like, oh, here, you get some fan service. It's harem-y and whatever. The action is, it's not great. But, I don't know. It could be worse, but it's nothing amazing. And then the last one I watched was, Shoujo Tachi wa Kuya wa Mensazu, which is also known as Girls Beyond the Wasteland. And this is a show about a bunch of teenagers, making their own shoujo game. And it starts off with this one girl telling this guy to meet her somewhere, and then she's just kind of being like, no, don't ask me what I want to do. Just take me around this amusement park as you would. And she's testing him to see if he would be a good fit for her game that she wants to make. And she's like, yes, yeah, oh, yeah, this is really good. And then it just follows them and a few other characters as they're working on this game. You have your very, very hot, works as a maid to make money, don't tell anyone, programmer. You have your guy who, I don't even know what he does, but he was heartbroken, and because he was so heartbroken and passionate about being against girls, now he's part of the team. You have your theater girl who is the voice actress, and then you have your quiet, shy girl who is the manga artist. And I just realized there are only the two guys on the team, and the one guy is worthless and the other guy is the writer. I don't know. The characters are just, none of them have particularly grabbed me much. The main girl who's wanting to get the game made is incredibly bossy in an annoying way. The programmer is just super selfish and just wants to do everything her way. Don't like that, though. I think she might have changed her ways after what happened in the last episode. But I don't know. The manga artist is, she's just a bit loopy, and too, she wants to do hentai, which is kind of funny. She's this very soft-spoken, innocent type of girl, but she's like way into the hentai idea. But I don't know. I'll keep watching it, but as you can tell from right now, I'm already kind of losing interest in talking about anime for this podcast. It's like 3 in the morning, and just woke up. I was like, I should record this now. And maybe that wasn't the best idea. But that's what I watched. It's also incredibly exhausting to start going through all the shows and catching up. I'm now making my way through the last group. I've watched all the shows that are on Crunchyroll that I've kept on my thing. And I've watched all of the things on Hulu that are only available on Hulu, and I just started moving to Funimation because I still can only watch it on the web, or I can watch it on my Xbox One. Don't really like watching it on my Xbox One for whatever reason. I did forget to mention, because I dropped these two shows, but I have decided to actually drop shows when I don't really like something about them or they haven't grabbed me in any way, shape, or form. And those two shows this season are Active Rain, Kudo Kyoshushitsu Daihachi Gakari, which is on Crunchyroll, and I dropped it just because they, in that show, talked incredibly fast, and it drove me nuts. I could not read anything. I was losing track of what they were saying so many times, and, you know, I mentioned earlier, but I don't like it when shows do that. It's hard for me to keep up. And it wasn't as big of a problem in Active Raid, because Active Raid, story-wise, is just garbage, and I don't care about any of the characters. They just introduced so many characters, too, and I was like, whatever. And it's not very pretty, but it's not good. I would not recommend checking it out. Then I also dropped Bubuki Baranki, which may be interesting story-wise. I wasn't against it story-wise from the first episode, but I dropped it immediately because of the visuals. And also, at the very end, in like the second half of the first episode, they introduce all these characters, and I'm just like, what is going on? Who are all these people? Nobody seems to have a strong personality that I can really latch onto, so I'm just not anchored into any of this, and it's just a bunch of nonsense going on screen. But my problem with it is that it's cheap CGI. And for cheap CGI, it looks good. It's quality, but you know, any TV show or anime or whatever that uses CGI is typically not going to have the biggest budget and is therefore not going to be the best looking. And it has that cel shady CGI look that I can't get into. It's why I haven't watched, and I don't know if it's improved over the seasons, but I haven't watched Ruby from Rooster Teeth, because I'm not a fan of that type of animation. It just looks really, really cheap to me. And it's incredibly obvious whenever characters interact with each other. Like in the very beginning of Bubuki Baranki, where the kids are grabbing onto their father, hugging like his bits and boots. Not his bits and boots, that sounds really, really wrong. Like, they're hugging his leg and one's hugging his side because the father's big and their kids are little kids. But there's no sense of actual connection. They don't feel like they're actually hugging one another. It feels like this thing is grabbing onto something, but it's not fully grasping it. And there's just a lack of weight and all that. And I just, I'm not a fan of it. But if that's not a problem for y'all, then it's worth checking out, because I think the story is potentially interesting there, but animation-wise, visually-wise, it's not my thing, so I had to drop it immediately. But that's it for the anime. That's also on Crunchyroll. But that is it for the anime. Played much of anything since the last show, other than some garbage. And when I say garbage, I'm not being funny. I mean, I've literally just played some garbage games. But before I get to that, I want to talk once again about The Witness, having still not played it. And in particular, I want to talk about the sales of the system, because a lot of people have been making a big deal about it. It sold, I think, over 100,000 copies in the first week, and you know, was on track, and I'm sure has sold more than Braid sold in the first 6 months of release. But the way I look at it, that's not really saying much of anything. That's not saying anything good or bad. Yeah, the game's made whatever. I think they said it surpassed 5 million in revenue or whatever. And I'm not saying that's not a great thing, but it's not some huge jump over Braid, the predecessor, because you have to think about the way they were both released, what platforms they were available on, how many of those platforms were out there, and it's very different. When Braid came out, there were probably around 12.5 million Xbox 360s out there. And Braid was, for the first 6 or 8 months, exclusive to Xbox Live Arcade. So right there, you have a game that is only $15. Witness is $40. And it's only available for the first, you know, 6-8 months on the Xbox 360. Of course, the install base would constantly be growing month after month, but it wouldn't get anywhere near what The Witness has going for it, which is the PS4 and PC. How many PCs are out there that can run The Witness? I don't even know. How many PS4s are out there? A little over 35 million. So right there, the install base, the amount of people who can purchase and can play The Witness is incredibly, it's just, you can't even compare them. It's multiple times larger than what Braid had. And also, Braid was this unknown game from this unknown person. It was a game that looked pretty to a lot of people, though I know I and other people were a bit turned off by the character and enemy designs. I was never a fan of that. I thought the world looked beautiful, but the design of the characters and the enemies and all that, it was a bit kind of nasty-ish. But I just think it's a bit funny and odd for people not to look back at Braid and the circumstances of that, of the time when it was released, you know, and digital downloads and all that stuff was still on the, especially for the console, a more, it wasn't a very common thing. People weren't like, oh, I'll just buy things digitally. It was growing at that time. It was still a little baby, getting older, maturing, and a lot of people look at Braid as one of the games that kind of said, hey, these games are real games too. And it deserves a lot of respect for that and appreciation. I never ended up finishing it because I think a puzzle ended up bothering me, or I couldn't get past one, and then I just didn't care anymore. But yeah, I just think it's a bit funny. I still want to play The Witness, but knowing myself, I don't think it's my type of game. I think I said this last week, I didn't like Myst. Whether or not it's a lot like Myst, it's just way too much of an investment for a potential. I can't justify spending $40 on a game that I may not like, and then I'm stuck with it. I've thought about buying it on PC and doing that because I know I have the option to return it if I realize I don't like it after, I don't know, an hour or so, but even then, I feel like that would be too much of a hassle. I don't know how simple that is. It's probably perfectly fine if you only do it a few times, but then if you keep doing it, it's probably going to be, there's a problem. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll play it at some point, but I'm in no rush. And yeah, so the games I've been playing are, one's really old, another one's really, really bad, and then another one's just kind of, ooh. The first one is Local Cycle. Now, I received a review copy for that for Xbox 360 when it first came out. Played through that, reviewed it, and I did not like it. I thought it was Twisted Pixel's worst game to date. I don't think they've made anything since. Maybe they did a mobile thing or something. But it was by far the worst game. It wasn't funny. It was artistically, design-wise, not great at all. I didn't find any of the designs interesting or clever or creative. They were just very, very plain, very boring. The enemy designs were bad. Coming from Twisted Pixels, which I think they're known for making somewhat difficult games, or at least somewhat challenging games, it was incredibly easy. It was a game you could play with your eyes closed, probably. Maybe not, but it was super, super easy. It's hard to die in that game. You have to try to die in many ways. But yeah, it just wasn't good. And I can't remember if that was the first game that they officially made after being purchased by Microsoft. Cause I know Gunslinger, I think they were purchased maybe in the middle of that development, but I could be wrong. But if it is the game that the first game and, you know, the only game since they split ways, man, that was a shitty deal for Microsoft, because you have this studio that was known for making great, quirky, different games that were always pretty funny and typically pretty good, and then they make this absolute pile of poo. That's not good, and that could be a reason why they split and went off on their separate ways. Because I was a huge fan. It was a really disappointing game, too, because I liked all their previous games. I still think The Maw is their best game because it's just so cute, and I would have loved to have seen them get a huge budget, and would have loved to have seen a super, super pretty, bigger budget, more expansive Maw game. But then, you know, Splosion Man, that was a really good time. So was Miss Splosion Man, even though it was more exploding. I thought the Comic Jumper was maybe a bit too difficult and a bit repetitive and not the best in terms of gameplay. I didn't hate it, but I thought that game was hilarious. I don't know if it would still hold up, but I remember playing through it and I reviewed it, and I think I gave it probably like 4 sausages out of 5 solely because of the humor. There's no way I could have given it 5, or if I did give it 5, it was because at the time I thought it was the funniest game I had ever played at that point. Maybe it still is. I don't know. I don't play too many funny games, that, or at least games I don't find often funny. But it's been on my Xbox One for a while. I had it because it's probably like $5 at some point. I was like, whatever. And then I decided to play through it because I just keep seeing it on my Xbox One. And I'm like, I don't want this on here anymore. Get away from me. And I played it, completed it, 1,000 achievement points, did all that jazz, and then I immediately deleted it. Because you know what? It's not any better. It's not any better the second time. It's worse, because it's just like, oh, God, I remember all this. It's so bad. And it is very much so an Xbox 360 game that was just put on an Xbox One. There are no upgrades in terms of the visuals. And yeah, it came out, I don't know if it was a launch title, if it was delayed. Either way, it's ugly. It's not funny. It's not fun. Boring. It's really short. Super easy. The achievements for unlocking all the bonus content is annoying as hell, because you have to buy something and then you see it, then you have to back out and then move over. You can't just do a bulk buy or anything like that, which just was more time consuming than I wanted. So yeah. Local Cycle, still not good. It was never good and still isn't any good. And then I tried out Roblox, which is a free game on, I believe, all platforms, Xbox One, and I think PS4, and then PC. It looks like it's starring, like, Duplox Lego characters, and it's just, I played it for probably like 5 minutes. One match, it was some zombie deathmatch type mode, and the controls, the camera, everything. It is a terrible game. And it is a free game that I would say, don't play. It's not worth your time. It's a game that, despite being free, is not worth even checking out. Unless you really want achievement points. Because I think it will be handing out achievement points very easily, very quickly. I got 50 for just playing a mode, I think. Either way, not good. If you aren't a huge fan of yourself, then you can play it. But from 5 minutes, I was like, what is this? This is a nightmare. But yeah, that was just a hot mess. And I can't believe Corey, one of my fellow co-hosts from Pixelated Radio, actually played, I think he said like 10 hours of it or something, which, if that's true, he has like 500 achievements or something. He's played at least 15 matches. I know that because that was one of his achievements. Either way, I don't know how he put that much time into it and somehow found enjoyment in all of it. But the last game I played, just a smidgen of, probably like a half hour or so, was Death by Game Show, which is available on Steam. It is regularly $14.99, but it is currently on sale 40% off, so it's like $8.99. And it is set in a world where it's sort of like Idiocracy, so everyone's stupid, and I guess the world is run by droids and robots. And and you're playing as this character who's deemed too smart, and therefore you have to take part in this game show, which is really just them trying to kill you because you're too smart. You gotta get rid of the smarts. They don't want them spreading, so they get you away from all the other people and then put you in this game show. And the game show, I thought, was going to be a bunch of mini games that were all different and funny and stuff, but it's really just sort of a, not tower defense, but you're on a single plane. It's a 2D game. You have to defend yourself until the rocket arrives so you can get off the planet, get off the surface. And you have access to some structures that will attack enemies, and then you have access to a certain number of drones or droids, which you can summon up to, and this might increase after time, but 8 at one time, and they differ in their abilities. Some are more defensive, some are more offensive, some are like suicide bombers, some go up in the air and attack airborne enemies, and you're just doing this until the ship arrives, which, you know, a few minutes. You collect some coins. You're equipped with a grapple, which can grab onto coins and things like that, which you just collect, and then you can use those to do this little spinner, which you can earn power-ups and whatnot during levels, so that you can upgrade your grapple for moments of time. Like, you can add a punching boxing glove to it so that you can actually hurt enemies and not rely on just droids. But it's not that fun because it's just that. And it's starting to get a little bit difficult. And I don't think the main mechanic of the game and all that is particularly fun. It's very, very boring. I wish I was more offensive. I just find it to be, it feels like a mobile game that, a not great mobile game that's on PC. And I'm like, why should I care? And another problem I have is that the screen is incredibly busy. There are so many different things on screen. You have all these different droids, which you unlock over time, but there are so many that are on screen that are potential options. And then all over the background, there are little signposts with different things that may be informative and be telling you about how to play the game and giving you hints. And then some are just jokes. I don't think any of the jokes or the humor is that great. And it's just so busy. There's so much going on screen and so much static stuff going on screen. And then there are the things that are actually happening when droids attacking all this stuff. And it's just like, what is all this stuff? It's just like, I wish the game would calm down. It's incredibly excessive when it doesn't need to be. In a game that should be really simple. It's trying to be too smart by having all this crap in it. And I'll put some more time into it. But I'm not expecting much. It's a game that is dead itself by its own game show. Because the game show in the game is not that great. And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I hope y'all enjoy this longer than usual show with all the anime. Still got so much more to go. Pretty much all the Funimation shows are now what I have left, but I'll get back to those when I watch them, and hopefully, maybe, I don't know, I won't record at 2-3 in the morning when I'm super tired and just kind of lose my train of thought halfway through. Maybe that would be a good idea. Either way, I am your host, once again, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on the Twitters, Instagrams, Periscopes, Snapchats, Vines, whatever, I don't know what else. Xbox Live, yes, and plenty of other places. My anime list, which I really like that site. It's a good site for anime, information, keeping the info, it's a good place to store what you've been watching, to just keep track of what you've been watching. That's the word I was looking for, the phrase, the terminology. It's great for that. And you can export all that data if you want to leave the site for whatever reason. But I really like the site. It's a great way to remember what I've watched and be able to get quick access to them and any information if I need it or want it. So I like it. I need to be more active on there, maybe post in the forums and whatnot and stuff. But I really like it. Definitely check it out. My anime list, I think .net. But I'm not sure about that. Just Google it if nothing else. I dig that. PX Sausage, like I said, though, everywhere. And I've also really come to appreciate Vine. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but when looking at Vine and Instagram in terms of posting videos, Instagram, yes, you get whatever, almost three times as much time. You get 15 seconds as opposed to the 6 seconds on Vine. But the compression and all the crap that Instagram does to videos in terms of reducing the quality for whatever stupid reason, it's terrible. It's the worst. It's way worse than YouTube or anything else. And Vine actually keeps the video at a fairly high quality. And I can appreciate that. Yes, maybe at times I wish I had more time with the videos, but for the most part, I like it. And I feel like there's a much more natural discovery aspect to Vine. I find that things I post on there get seen more often, get exposed more often, more people see them. Not people that are just following me, because my follower list on there is definitely lower than any other platform, but I feel like people naturally find things, and maybe that's in part because of the whole categorization aspect of it that isn't super substantial, or not super, it's just not that robust. It's very simple. It's like, oh, here's gaming, here's health, whatever, beauty, etc. A few simple, stereotypical categories, but I dig it. I dig Vine. But yeah, on there, everywhere else. Once again, I am at PX Sausage on PSN. I am the Kush 3, that is the KUSH, the number 3. And on Wii U, I'm Pixelated Sausage, and hopefully the whole Nintendo ID thing will be hitting the States fairly soon. I think it's hitting Japan in like a week or so. Well, that should be cool. And it's basically just, hey, remember Club Nintendo? We're just kind of doing that again. I'm just not calling it Club Nintendo. So, whatever. It should be nice, though, to have a universal account, at the very least. The site is, of course, Pixelated Sausage. On there, you can find this podcast, Things I Write, the other podcasts I do, Pixelated Radio, and artwork of mine, which is kooky and weird and colorful and funky, and people seem to like it, and maybe you will, too. What is that in my screen? That's a weird looking. You'll love to hear on that. Yeah. Everything's on pixelatedsausage.com. And of course, I'm a broken record. Every podcast is a broken record when it comes to this, because every host says this, because it is true and it really does help. If you haven't already, there's a mustache hair in my mouth. Get out. Yeah, is that still attached to my face? I don't know. My mustache is long. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's good. It's gone. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to both this show and Pixelated Radio and rate and review them on iTunes, because it does help out a lot. It keeps this podcast, keeps any podcast you do that for, higher up in the rankings, so that more people can find it, and then more people can listen to it, and more people can be like, oh, I'll rate and review it too, and I'll subscribe. And then it's just a constant cycle of helping this show and any show you love or like stay in the public eye. So please do that if you haven't already. I would greatly appreciate it. And I would appreciate it if it was a positive review. If it's negative, then maybe just don't listen to the show. You don't need to tell people that you don't like the show. Just stop listening. Yeah, okay, let's agree on that too. No reason to waste your time writing a negative review. Positive reviews only. So that will do it for this here episode. I hope you all had a lovely week so far, and continue having a lovely week. And I will talk to you all again in another week after Valentine's Day. So everyone have a nice, wonderful Valentine's Day with your loved ones. Practice safe sex, unless you're trying to make a baby. Then no safe sex, none of that at all. But yeah, enjoy it for the few minutes it lasts, and then just take a nice nap. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Bye bye.